It's good to see each one again. And my family, to your families, a welcome, and nice to see each one here this morning. About 2 weeks ago, I was listening to the news. There was an interesting statement that was made on the news. It's been around ever since, that the G8 countries will be giving aid to mothers and babies in the third world. And the government of Canada will be helping in this endeavor, but it will not be financing the abortion of unwanted babies in these third world countries. And that was a real encouragement to me. Since 1968, there has been a number of, we know, abortions in this country, and this is very tragic. And so it was good to hear that there was a stand made somewhere, probably to a great cost to somebody. It's interesting, in this country, every time there's 100 live births, there are also 30 abortions. Not just 1 year, but every year, there are more babies put to death in this country than there were in the wars in which this country has been involved. We live in Prince Edward Island. We have the smallest, they say, number of abortions per live births, 100 live births, 11 abortions. So there's just about 11 babies slain each year for every 100 live births. It is amazing. When we look at Quebec, which is the highest number, for every 100 live births, there are 43, nearly a half, 43 abortions for every 100 live births. And so when I hear that there is a little change, even a few, then that gives me great joy to hear that. And if I might say this, whatever your political stripe, I do not believe it would be a bad time for us to write a little letter to our member, whatever side of politics they are on, for they make up the governing body of Canada, and thank them for saving a few lives. Today I would like to speak and look at some passages in Scripture which deal with the value of the most helpless ones in our society, although some of the very old may share that space with them, but nonetheless, the most helpless ones of society, and why we have a great responsibility to them. By the way, I spoke this message in Quebec, and somebody showed me my wife said they can't see it even from the front, but this is a little doll, and it's about 2.5 to 3 inches long, and they pretty well perfectly formed here. They say that his heart has been beating. By the way, It's about 3 months old. This is the age in which babies are slain most often in this country. The first 3 months from conception. The brain waves have been recorded at 40 days. He squints, swallows, and can make a fist. And by the way, even at this, I kind of wonder at these little fingers and toes that this guy has. He is sensitive to heat and touch, light and noise, and he sucks his thumb. All his body systems are working. He weighs about an ounce, and he could fit comfortably in the palm of your hand. He's quite a little fellow. By the way, I could tell as that he's a little boy. You can't see that from there. When we, anyway, let's get down to some scripture. I'm not a philosopher, not a great philosopher. I'm not a politician, and I'm not a doctor. But we'll look at some scriptures here, and they're basically in the Old Testament. That is where the we have the book of beginnings and the book of Genesis, and we have many of the beginnings of the home and the family. I'd just mention a verse in Acts chapter 17 and verse 21. And we read there just 4 or 5 words, and you don't have to look this up. The fact is, I'd be moving around quite a bit in the scripture. You might sooner write these down and look them up later. The value of this child and its value is established by the Word of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, we read these words. We are his offspring, that is, the offspring of God, in the sense of him being our creator. We are his offspring. In other words, every child that is conceived is, in a sense, the offspring of God by creation. I believe that that gives a tremendous dignity and importance, not only to those of us that are strong and handsome, but to those of us that are very weak. We are his offspring. In Genesis chapter 1, we have recorded the creation of man. In verse 27, we read, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth and have dominion. And in verse 31, we read, and God saw all the things he had made, and behold, it was very good. This is the ideal. This is how God set it up. In the image of God created he them, male and female. He's speaking of creation here. And so we see this spoken of every child that is conceived, of every person. And it's very, very good. Now we know in Genesis chapter 3 we have the story of sin. Man sinned and came under the curse of sin. And one thing that we find in the book of Psalms 51 and verse 5, although this is contained in other places, is sadly the sin nature was and is passed from the parents to the children at conception. At the moment that the X and the Y's join, then sin nature is passed on. Kind of a sad story, but nonetheless it is true. David could say this, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He talks of conception as the beginning of his life. He said, once I was a little boy smaller than this, just one egg, just one cell. Notice here the pronouns I and me. I was shapen. My mother did conceive me, a person. A person from the beginning. David was a person from conception. And conception, as we know, is the time when we were a fertilized egg. That is what the Bible teaches. The sin nature is passed on at that moment. Once again in the Psalm, Psalm 139, we read these words. And perhaps we'll look this up because there's more verses involved here. Turn to the book of Psalm 139. It's wonderful the protection God gives to this little fellow. He has a place in the womb of his mother where he's protected. The Lord brought together family, a husband and wife, to protect this child in every way. In every way. Wonderful that he should care so much. And in Psalm 139, we read in verse 13, Behold, thou hast possessed my reins, my vital organs. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Who has covered him? Not the wonders of evolution. Thou, Jehovah God, covered me in my mother's womb. David could say this. I could say this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I believe that that speaks of God being aware of the very, as we are made of dust, of the dust from which we are made. I suppose a potter just doesn't choose any old dust. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. All my members were written, all my body parts were written before I was ever made when there was none of them. You know something? This is a wonderful truth. It gives a dignity to mankind. It certainly gives a dignity to the most helpless of our society. When we look at the book of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, this is a short statement, but it says, Thou knowest not how bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a scientist. But I was reading a statement, and that statement said that basically neither the doctor nor the scientist knows any more about how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child than you or I do. God knows. God knows. God knows what's going on. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, I formed thee in the belly. Again, you see the work of God in this. I knew thee before I formed thee. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet. He was fully human from conception, known of God beforehand, this little fellow. In Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, we see how special he is. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's interesting in the law. And by the way, I'd just like to say a couple of things about the law. The Bible says that the main purpose of the law, Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans 7 verses 12 and 13, the law is holy and just and good. And the sin by commandment, that is by the commands of the law, that it might become exceedingly sinful. The purpose of the law, and these verses we've been reading are all in the law, what is called the law and the prophets. These are to show us what is wrong. And of course, in the Old Testament, there's also grace. There's one man in the Old Testament, his name was Manasseh. He took the babies a little later on than this fellow. He'd take it to a heathen altar, which was burning red with fire, and offer his babies up to the gods of the heathens. He enjoyed his life. He enjoyed the witchcraft he was involved in. He enjoyed massive adulteries he was involved in. He did many wicked things, and God dealt with him. We read in the scriptures how that he repented and besought the Lord. And the Lord's heart was touched by his repentance, and his life changed. God gave him back those evil years, those murderous, blood-covered hands of his were cleansed as white as snow. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. But we find in the law a story in Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh, who was wanting to destroy the Hebrew nation, really a demonic effort to get rid of the Messiah, who would be born of a Jewish woman, the Bible holds that forth, Satan knows it. But Pharaoh said to the midwives of Israel, if it's a son, kill him. If it's a daughter, let her live. Kind of the opposite of what they do in China at the present time. But the Bible says the midwives feared God. You see, when we touch what is God's, his seed, then we have to do with God. They feared God, and they saved the men children alive. And for this, God gave them houses. Under even the law, there was enough grace to protect the little child. And in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22, we see that even the unborn child was held in reverence and regard by God. When a woman is with child and when she is hurt, when two men are fighting and she's hurt by accident. And the fruit departs from her. That is, the baby is aborted naturally by this situation. If no mischief follow, still the man will be punished by what the husband requires and shall pay as the judges determine. In other words, the child was protected and was to be protected by criminal law. But if mischief follow, and this is an interesting passage because we often hear it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth as being the basis of justice. Then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, etc. Now, it would seem as you read that passage that the law protects both the mother and the child. Not only the mother, but both. They were protected. They were not to be harmed. I thought that was a very interesting and important thing for us to note from the Word of God, from Holy Scriptures. Another thing that I thought was wonderful, Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of God. We have a man in the scripture in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. His name was David. He had a child that died. It was a matter of God's judgment on him, not necessarily on the child, but on David. But nonetheless, he took the child, God did, to be with him. David wept and fasted and prayed when the child was dying. But when the child died, David said, "Why should I fast? I cannot bring him back. I shall go to him. I shall join him. But he shall not return to me." David's hope is given clearly in the book of Psalms 23, and verse 5. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And he expected to meet his child there. That gave him great comfort. That dried his tears. It would seem to me that the eternal soul of the child, the most helpless in society, is valuable to God. I think of those also that are not able ever in their lifetime to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I believe God sees and knows. And I believe if God loves a little sparrow and keeps his eye on him, and no sparrow falls but that God sees it, so he careth much more for a little child. We read in the Holy Word of God that God's love for the orphans and for the widows. In Psalm 10 and verse 14, "Thou art the helper of the fatherless." David rejoiced in the Lord. It says in chapter 10 and verse 18 of Psalm 10, "God will judge on behalf of the fatherless." In Psalm 68, verse 5, "He is a father to the fatherless." God cares. God cares. Something for us to keep in mind. I see that our time is passing by, There was another aspect of this that I wanted to cover, but I believe that that clock is right. I will not. What shall we do? What shall we do? You know something Daniel did on behalf of his nation? He confessed the sins of his nation as well as his own sins. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we have the right in this country, even if they're trying fairly hard to keep us shut into churches. But nonetheless, we are thankful for what rights we have in this country. But if our country sins, and if it is a sin of our nation that even our laws are sinful against such little ones, it would not be so terrible for us to weep as Daniel wept, and for us to confess our sins as citizens, for we are citizens of Canada, with all its privileges and responsibilities. I notice in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I presume that takes care of the believers only. The verse ahead of that says, if we say we have no sin, that we call God a liar and his truth is not in us. We need to deal with truth. We need to deal with sin. I believe also that it's wonderful that those of us that have been involved in another life, in another time, with terrible travesty against the very God himself, by touching the weakest ones of society, then I believe it's glorious that we can come to him. If you're unsaved here today, you can come and you can confess your sins. God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We could be a conscience to this country. In Matthew 14, we see John the Baptist. He said, basically, to Herod, the very king of the nation, for which he went to jail and was beheaded. He said, that is not right. We could preach the gospel. Before I was saved, I was an evolutionist. And I suppose the truth is, I feared the devil, all right, but I didn't fear God. You know, when we preach the gospel, people's minds are changed. There's a renewal of mind. There's actually nothing you can do for Charlottetown or for this island any better than preaching the gospel. People's minds change about everything when you're saved. It's called repentance. It's something that happens. Your mind is changed. I don't remember when I became a creationist, believing that God was the author of all things, but I remember when I was saved, and it just happened so automatically sometime following that, or maybe at the same time, I don't even know, but there it is. The gospel can change more than even placards and marching or shooting doctors that believe deserve to be shot, all right, on the other hand, it's not up to us to shoot them. Then we can pray. We can pray. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Pray for those that are in authority. Why? Because God wants everyone to be saved. It is a travesty against people's souls, this kind of work. And we need to pray for those that are at it. For, you know something, some people say, oh, a woman has a right to choose. Yes, she may have a right to choose in this nation. But she has a responsibility to choose. That little baby that's in her womb, she has a responsibility. God is involved in the conception of that child. She has a tremendous responsibility before God. So does the male involved. And the judgment of God will run hot one day, I believe, over this issue. We need to pray for these people that God would move in and bring about repentance. I believe that we have a responsibility to help those that are widows and fatherless or those that have been left alone. We find many times one parent families in this country, one way or another, we're to visit them in their affliction. And we should, whatever the circumstances, be generous with food and clothing and shelter. I am very thankful to live in a country that does as much for the poor as our nation does. And then I believe that we can commend what's right. I believe that our government is under tremendous pressure because of the stand it has taken for the life of the unborn child. I don't think it would hurt us to send a little email, once again, to those that are in responsibility in our nation and thank them for this little bit of work. There's lots of things ought to be done. But when something is actually done, we should be thankful for it. And so we can let them know. Let them know, whatever stripe, but I'm not asking you to vote for somebody or change parties or anything, but I will say this, it's something you can do. So often we sit back and we growl and complain, and we should be a conscience to the nation, but we can, when something happens, by whatever reason, it is a miracle. This is the first positive thing that's done for the life of the unborn child since 1968. That's 40 years of death and carnage and destruction still going on, 100,000 a year. Every 10 years, a million little babies slaughtered. But even if we see the smallest result, it might encourage them to do more, to say thank you. So today, I wanted to speak. This is Mother's Day. And what better thing than many mothers here? Mothers that I had a wonderful mother. She had 11 of these little fellas, 4 boys, 7 girls. And you know something? She loved us all. She never went to sleep. Oh, well, not at that age. Maybe she didn't go to sleep when we were that age either. But she never went to sleep till we were all in. You know, it is a wondrous thing. The protection we had. A little baby, you know, They say once it's out of the womb, it's a viable creature, and before, it's not. But you know something? If my mother didn't feed me, I wouldn't have been fed. And if she didn't change my diaper, it wouldn't have been changed. If she didn't care for me when I was sick, I wouldn't be cared for. Mothers are the basis of our society and the family. The husband is right there. These things are vital. They are God-given. They are God-blessed. And so I would say to you mothers, that when they make you feel guilty, if you love your children, or if you would protect them with your very life, and very often mothers have, just let it be. All these things will come out in God's wash. And if you're not saved today, I'd say for goodness sake, get saved. You're dealing with God Almighty. That's who you're dealing with in these matters. Thank you very much for your time today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for mothers. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessings that they have been to us when we were most unable to look after ourselves. Oh, Father, we live in a world that is so crazy and distraught with lust and sin. Father, we just pray that there may be a repentance, a bowing of knee before thee, before it is too late. We just commit these things to thee, Lord. We thank thee for thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.